Let us listen now for God's word to us and the church today. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts awaken us to your word for us this day, O Christ, our Alpha and our Omega. Amen. Okay, I want you to close your eyes for a moment. No, your pastor is not inviting you to take a nap during the sermon. But if you will, close your eyes, take a breath, and just think for a moment about Christmas. What sights and sounds, tastes and smells come to mind? The scent of freshly cut Douglas fir, or perhaps the beautiful tune of Silent Night, Holy Night, or the sweet and spicy taste of gingerbread men, starting with the icing first. Or maybe the shape and feel of those treasured ornaments that you hang on your tree each year, growing more precious, if not more worn, and tattered. What images come to your mind? Okay, you may open your eyes. You may open your eyes now. I'm pretty sure that for all of us, if we're honest, the memories of Christmas past produce a complex mixture of feelings, both the good and the bad, pleasurable and some painful too. It is a time of heightened emotion, intense excitement, and sometimes deep dread. The hopes and fears of all the years come crashing into the living rooms of our hearts and minds. We think about putting those toys together at midnight, bleary-eyed, kids growing up and moving away. No two Christmases are the same. Some years it's a death, a divorce, or a disagreement that rearranges the place settings around our Christmas dinner table. Painful absences and memories can make it a day some years that you are just hoping to get through, a day you would rather not think about it, to be honest. That's Christmas. But now, what about Advent? What if I were to ask you to close your eyes, and I won't, and think about Advent? Actually, just yesterday afternoon, when I was visiting Ruth Hefko in the hospital, and I was having a conversation with her about tomorrow is the first Sunday of Advent, The young adult male nurse, couldn't have been more than 19 or 20, kind of on the side of the room. All of a sudden, I hear this voice from him saying, "What's Advent?" So I explained and mentioned about the candles that we light. And then he goes, "What are the candles for?" That was my wake-up Advent moment yesterday. But what images come to mind for you with the word Advent? You might think, oh yeah, Advent's that churchy word that pastors use to keep us from singing our favorite Christmas carols until Christmas Eve. Or Advent has something to do with those candles we light and the color blue and the four Sundays before Christmas. And most of that is true, but don't worry, as you can see, we already got to hear some of our favorite carols today. But Advent is much more than that. So today, on December 3rd, as we begin our 2017 season of Advent and prepare to come to the table, I want to invite you to look up and step up to the call to be Advent people. And good news for us, since Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday this year, Advent is only 22 days long. That's the shortest number of days Advent can possibly be. So it's only a 22-day challenge. So you're thinking, okay, what does it mean to be Advent people? Well, that's what Christ is instructing his disciples about in the 13th chapter of Mark that we just heard. You may be thinking, but Pastor, I didn't hear anything about Mary or the baby Jesus or shepherds or angels or anything like that in that passage. And you are right. This Advent reading is not about the birth of Jesus into this world. This text is about how to watch and wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ that is yet to be. That's right, Jesus' second coming. Advent is about the birth of Jesus, and it is also about Jesus' second coming, too. The word Advent literally means coming. So celebrating Christmas, the birth of Christ, is part of what Advent people do, and that's the part we know about. But it's the other part I want to tell you about today. And it's this other part that Jesus is talking about in Mark 13. Rarely do you hear sermons on the second coming or the apocalypse, large or small, in the Presbyterian Church. Definitely not our thing to dwell on scriptures about the end times. These passages are strange and startling. They employ poetry and symbolism that refuse to be contained by literal interpretations. Sometimes preachers use these texts to scare people into believing or to make predictions about when Christ is going to come again. But both of these approaches contradict the very nature of the God we worship, and they distort the clear message of Jesus in today's text. Let's listen and think about what does Jesus tell them. How does he answer their questions about when and what the signs will be? He tells them flat out in verse 32, "About that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." That's right, he said, not even Jesus knew. That radical claim met with some resistance as the story got written down and interpreted. Some of the later manuscripts actually took it out. Surely Jesus knew, they reasoned. Yet the discomfort of that phrase is the very argument that biblical scholars use to determine the greater authenticity of the phrase. Because who would make that up? So if Jesus was not given to know about the day or the hour, then neither are we. But I'm willing to bet this, that Christ's return will surely, surely surprise us. A baby boy born in a manger to an unwed peasant girl surely was not the way anyone expected Jesus' first coming to roll out. And so if we've learned one thing, it may be to expect that Jesus' second coming will also surprise us big time. So Advent people know is that Christ came, Christ died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Does that sound familiar? We pray this prayer together during our great prayer of thanksgiving, just before receiving the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. So I encourage you today, especially on the first Sunday of Advent, that when we pray that during communion, to let that truth sink in maybe deeper than it has before. Because this is the truth that gets us up out of bed in the morning, the coming of Christ into our lives. The inbreaking of Christ into our daily lives is what gives us hope and watchful presence to be able to face whatever this Advent or life may throw at us. People, situations, jobs, things, money, the church, our country, our health, our relationships, they can all change in a twinkling of an eye. We know that. But up against those shifting sands come Jesus' words, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not." The Word, Christ, is with us, ready to break in and break through again and again. I have a story to share that offers a vivid image of hope, of inbreaking, of watchfulness. And it's about Luther. Not Martin Luther, but a golden retriever named Luther. That's right, a dog, a golden retriever. This story is told by Mary Lou Redding in her book, While We Wait. She writes this: "Luther is a very large dog, well over 100 pounds. He walks his owner every day in a park-like area near my home. Retrievers are hunting dogs, of course, and Luther enthusiastically embodies his heritage. He hunts moles, chipmunks, and squirrels with great joy, occasionally catching one if he lunges when his human is not expecting Luther's powerful tug on the leash. Well, one autumn morning, Luther and his owner were walking near a stand of trees that is a home to many, many squirrels. On this particular morning, something wonderful, rare, and totally unexpected happened. A squirrel fell out of the tree right in front of Luther. He had only to pounce. So he was astounded and overjoyed. So from that moment on, Luther has believed that squirrels fall out of trees. So the next morning, and for many mornings after, Luther approached that stand of trees with his eyes lifted and all a quiver with anticipation, waiting. He would stop even a few feet and look up in eager attention, waiting, just waiting for that squirrel to fall in front of him. What if you and I walked through life with that kind of present, watchful anticipation? Waiting for God to show up in the midst of our daily activities, for gifts of grace and healing to fall into our lives so close we can reach out and touch them. What would be different if we lived this Advent that way? Jesus is teaching us to wait and watch with our eyes wide open, because Jesus has come and Jesus will come again. That's what Advent people do. Like the coming of Jesus at Christmas, or like Luther's squirrel, wonderful things do happen. So I invite you to be an Advent person for this next 22 days, watching for that inbreaking of Christ in our midst. Watch with our eyes wide open and present to the hope that Christ gives us. So for this Advent, let's put our to-be list ahead of our to-do list. That's especially hard at Advent. As we know, God created us to be human beings, not human doings. Advent is a time to practice this and remember this and claim this. Advent people do this. They're beings before their to-do lists. So spend time with Jesus' words that do not pass away. Spend time in fervent prayer. Listen to the divine nudges that tell us who needs our attention and love this moment, this day. Be alert to the people we know, and also to those who kind of fall out of a tree in our path, walking in deep darkness desperately in need of Christ's mercy and light in their lives. Can we do this? Can we do this? We can try, right? I think we can. So let's be Advent people. Let us pray. Fill our every moment with your threefold Advent, O Christ. Awaken us to the then and the now and the one day of your presence. Amen.